This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
This is a thriller like Dread Man. I guess it back and let this moment slip away. Guess I got my eye on you.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. The people that were involved in the organizing of the Friends and Family Fest at Brown Deer Park are listening. They're going to be mad at me. But I'm trying to bring shame back. There probably was a time where people would be embarrassed if their event ended up an hour's worth of topic on Black Talk Radio. You would think they would say, oh, no, how terrible. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Next year we're going to clean up. They barely even took responsibility for it. In fact, you know what? I want to finish reading the article. Like, I had to stop so many times because there's so, like, every sentence of every paragraph of the article is more infuriating because the park is an absolute mess. And one of the organizers was like, oh, yeah, I guess we could have done better. What? That's a basic minimum, and it should be a requirement. I've never rented a picnic area before, but I've gone to plenty. Like, isn't there some fine print somewhere that you got to clean this stuff up or you'll be fine? Is there even a Milwaukee County ordinance where you can fine somebody or hold them responsible? Because I'm all for, if somebody doesn't want to clean up their event, cool, but you're going to pay for somebody else to clean it up, and it's going to be a hell of a lot more expensive. Or, ooh, I got one. You want to rent a picnic area? $17,000 deposit. You get your deposit back when we go and inspect the area, and if it's clean, you get your deposit back. You want to rent a picnic area? Oh, you do? Give us your firstborn. Actually, no. Keep your firstborn, because far too many people would be willing to sacrifice their firstborn. Fine them. Not going to clean up? Fine, okay. Somebody will clean it up. And we're going to pay them, whoever this cleaning service is, a lot of money, and you're going to be charged. The group says four Friends of Brown Deer Park volunteers spent a combined 11 hours cleaning. Its social media posts also raised concerns about debris and hot coals left behind after the gathering. This is going to relate to how young people are disciplined. So if there are adults and if there are parents who, I'm assuming, put this event on, this is not a kids' event. I mean, there are kids there. But there were adults that signed the contracts and rented the space. And if children see that undisciplined kind of behavior, do you wonder where the lack of discipline stems from when these kids are in school? But then we have this whole thing we got to unravel. And as Black folks, we got to be honest about some things. Look, I get it, right? Systemic oppression, institutional, structural racism at every single epoch in American history. Some barrier has been erected, and every time we make progress, it seems that even our politics turns away from Black progress. The other political party will erect more barriers. Just when we jump through one hoop, here comes four more. Like, I get it. It's a struggle. We have to work really, really hard. We walk into some of these rooms and we have to go above and beyond to even be credible. I know it, y'all. Trust me, I do. But at the end of the day, if you take all that away, this is just the cross that we bear as Black people. It comes along with it. But also, when we win and we accomplish, the glory is so much sweeter because you are doing it for history. You are setting a tone that, listen to me when I tell you this, no matter what they throw at us, ooh, because they tried everything. They tried it all. We still come out victorious. They cannot stop us. Right now, it seems like we are stopping ourselves. I'm going to ask a real simple question. It should be rhetorical. As much as you may hate the system, and I'm sure some of y'all even hate capitalism, which is confusing to me because Black people love money and we love entrepreneurship. We love making profit because sometimes, you know, if you're Black and talented, white folks will come for you because you make them look bad. You make them look lazy and you make them look mediocre. Ooh, they hate that. So sometimes we just leave corporate America and we start our own corporate America. We start our own little businesses. Shout out to all the people that do that. But then even if you want loans and resources for your business, if you're black, you got to jump through more hoops and hurdles than anybody else does. So I get it. But at the end of the day, can you behave? Can you behave? Can you act like a normal, rational human being? Can you get into a disagreement with somebody and not yell and scream and cuss them out? Can you keep your tone the same even if you have been wrong? Can you debate an issue without getting in your feelings? Can you behave? Can you carry yourself with a level of maturity, not just fit for an adult, but fit for a child to watch and learn from? This should be a rhetorical question. Can you behave with all the oppression and all of the racism and all the white folks that are clearly trying to kill you? Table salt will kill more black people than white people will, just to let you know. I don't care how many cops kill black people. Not exercising is going to kill dramatically more. So just want to throw that out there in case we want to blame something on our death. French fries, which are delicious. I like crinkle cut, but let me tell you the ultimate. The waffle fry. Because the waffle Hey, no. You don't like waffle fries?
They're okay, but they're not the ultimate.
First of all, look at the pure surface area of the waffle fry. Because I like to dip. I like to dip things. I like sauces. I like dipping. The waffle fry has got, and then the sauce, it can get all up in the holes. And you can fully sauce your seasoned waffle fry. I'm going to give you all a little hack, even though I shouldn't. I got to stop revealing my places. I go to certain places. Oh, like yesterday during the storm, I wasn't at home. I was in the streets. I was at Club Charlie's. All their furniture blew away. And my stupid ass parked a Tesla under a tree. And it was raining so bad because right when the tornado touched down in West Dallas, some of that wind was blowing eastward. And it's leaves and sticks and branches flying off the damn tree and all the furniture at Charlie's. The umbrellas was blowing away because they got patio furniture. And I feel bad because the poor server, the waitress girl, she put on her like a windbreaker, and she almost got blown away. And we all standing inside Club Charlie's looking at her out the window like, oh, I hope she makes it. Nobody tried to help her. So the white girl gave up. She's like, I'm not bringing all these umbrellas in here, and stuff just started blowing down the street. And I'm thinking to myself, my Tesla's going to get crushed by a tree because I parked under a tree. It was all right, though. I just had a stick on my hood, just a branch. Not even a branch, just like a stick fell. Big stick, but it was okay. Be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. Luis Vasquez. Is this him? He looks black. Let me look at his hair texture. You know, we got to look at determining factors. So he looks Afro-Latino. Y'all confuse me with that. Black African-American, black Afro-Latino, white Hispanic, white non-Hispanic. Listen, pick a side, y'all. Come on. Why are you adding? Can we get back to the waffle fries just for a second? I don't like how you responded. So here's what you do. You go to, I can't tell you the name. We're also going to be starting back our segments with Visit Milwaukee, or I'm going to be forced to tell y'all all the fun places to go. But I got to separate. There's places that I know of that I'm familiar with that I think you all would enjoy, and I might promote and talk about those. But then there's the places that I go to, and I love y'all so much. You have no idea, how much I love you guys, but I don't want to see you when I'm in the street. I don't. If I run into you, cool. But I'm not going to. You're not invited. Catch me if you can. If you see me out, you see me out. But I'm not telling you where I'm going. I learned that lesson the hard way. But there's a particular place that I believe has the best waffle fry one could ever get. Okay? It's supreme. It's a superb waffle fry. Now, here's what they do, though. They also have regular French fries, and then you can get truffle fries. I like truffle. That's next level right there. That's sophistication. And so here's what they have. They have the regular French fries, which are just like the regular, normal McDonald's cut French fries. Eh, they're mid. But then you can get those regular French fries with truffle seasoning and like a dusting of Parmesan cheese. They will make you fight someone. They will make you leave garbage at Brown Deer Park. That's how good these fries are, okay? But then they have the waffle fries. And the waffle fries, just they're seasoned waffle fries. So I said to the server one day, and I go to this place not often but consistently. I said, waitress lady. She said, yes. I said, lean in close. She said, ooh. I said, oh, not like that, freak. I said, what if we experimented with something? She's like, I like to experiment. I was like, ma'am, you're taking this too far. I said, can we put the truffle oil and the Parmesan cheese on the waffle fry? She was like, what? Let me find out for you, sir. And they brought out my food. I had them waffle fries with that truffle oil and that Parmesan cheese on them. And then they give you like this peppercorn ranch to dip it in. I immediately started cursing. And so that every time I go there, that's what I get. And Xavier over here, you don't even like waffle fries. I don't, what? How?
They're not the ultimate. On average, you're giving an exception to the rule. On average, waffle fries are pretty average. You're just your example is a extraordinary, you know, example. It's an exception to the rule. Now, if you're looking for a great fry, you know, you're gonna go to my great fry is I'll say for.
Better say some
five guys. I'll say Five Guys. They're
it's too greasy and they're like a flimsy. I like a crispy fry.
Well, yeah, if they've done right. So if you get them, if the person isn't you know, lazy and they take them out too early and they're all soggy, but if you get them done the right way, properly with, you know, the Cajun seasoning on it, it's a wrap.
I know they give you a lot of them. You never need to order a large fry from Five Guys because you can get whatever small offering they have, and they just fill the bag, and a bag be so greasy. I don't like seeing the grease. I mean, I know it's going to be delicious, but I was like, ooh, my arteries are going to look like that. But I don't. Five Guys is expensive. Yes. You get you a hamburger. Well, you got to put all the toppings, I think, are free. So you get you a double, and get you some fries, get you a drink. You're getting close to $25.
Yeah, burger and fries about $20.
That's insane to me. I remember when McDonald's cheeseburgers were 39 or 49 cents. I remember you could spend $5 at Taco Bell and have more food than you can eat. Fast food prices are absolutely insane. It used to be cheap.
Yeah, no, Taco Bell is ridiculous. You get you get the nachos and a couple tacos and you're at like $20. Mm-mm. That's insane.
I'd rather go to Solito Lindo and get my cheese and onion enchiladas and rice and the beans and unlimited chips and salsa for $16. I'm happy as a camper.
Where's that at?
South Second and National.
Okay, not too far.
That's my spot. And I know y'all have your own Mexican spots. There's so much good Mexican food. I'm not a food truck person. Some of y'all swear by these food trucks. I guess there's one that's in Wauwatosa. This on like 68th and State Street. They park in front of two grocery stores, a Metro Market, and then there's a Metcalf's, which used to be a Century. There's a taco truck. I don't like taco trucks because if you get sick, they can just drive away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You ain't going to find them no more. They'll just hop town on you. I like an established brick and mortar restaurant. I don't want my food out of a truck.
You don't ever go to those taco trucks right over there? Right off of Kilbourne, where they'd be playing the jazz by that place. You know what I'm talking about?
Nope. Kilbourne. Yeah. I know they got a food truck. They got the Zocalo, the food truck park. I ain't never been over there. I don't...
Oh, I'm talking about the one.
Kilbourne.
It happens on Wednesdays. Only on Wednesdays. They play jazz like right across the street from the Marcus Performing Arts Center.
Nope. I'm not. My downtown, I'm only in the Third Ward. I don't really hang out nowhere else downtown. I just
Today it'll be, you know, they have it during the afternoon. They have a whole bunch of food trucks and jazz playing and stuff.
Aren't we due for a night market?
Yeah, pretty soon. I didn't get an email today, so I don't think there is one
It's because they canceled last month, right? What month is this? It's August. I think they canceled July. So we should be due for a night market.
Are you going to go? Are you afraid they're going to be fighting? Which only happened one time.
Yeah, right. No.
I've been in night market for a long time.
They fought at every night market damn near last year at the end. Always girls. No, I'm not. I asked y'all to do one thing for me. I asked y'all not to fight at Bastille Days. Who fights at a French festival? You think the French people, because it's their revolution, you think if somebody going to be fighting at Bastille Days, it's going to be the French people.
According to our caller, the night market is tonight.
Look at that. Glad that they let us know that, because they start blocking off the street. So when we leave here, traffic gets all rearranged. Look at that. Night. Well, now I got a decision to make. It's supposed to rain tonight. What's the weather going to be like?
I'm not sure. I think it's supposed to be just overcast.
When I night market, I do it differently than most, and I'm surprised that they even have allowed it. So it takes place on a couple of streets, Wisconsin Avenue, King Drive. Those are the main streets that it's on. And then I think that there's a little section where the food trucks are. I think that's 2nd Street, okay? 2nd in Wisconsin. So there's vendors set up going east and west, both sides of the street on Wisconsin Avenue. And they have these areas that are, like, reserved for vendor tents. And they sell all sorts of stuff. You can get the jewelry and the trinkets. So you can get all the little things. The many local vendors that have their different wares for sale. But every now and again, there'll be a gap between vendor tents. Maybe a vendor didn't show up, or there was a spot that was reserved for a vendor tent and no vendor rented that particular spot. So here's what we do. We bring some chairs. We bring a cooler. Bring our own drinky drink. Bring a little speaker. So we got our own music. So we over here, we posted up. We in the middle of the action, Jack. We right there on Wisconsin Avenue. We got our little chairs, and so then our friends will come by. And, hey, you want to sit down? You want to make you a drinky drink? And we just out there kicking it, just people watching. That's how we night market. Probably frowned upon, but I didn't see anything that said I couldn't do all that stuff. And then we will come in here to Good Karma Brands because they got the ice machine. So if we need more ice for the cooler, we just come upstairs and we get the ice. And then we go back down to the streets. I don't know. I got to.
That's probably frowned upon now.
I ain't see no signs. You got to tell me explicitly. If I don't see a sign, then I'm going to do what I'm going to do until they decide they want to come up with a rule to prevent me from having fun. Because of Sherwin Hughes, you are no longer allowed. But also, you can't keep track of it because the Third Street Market Hall is packed. Because you got people that are in here that'll buy drinks in here and then take them out there. I'm just bringing my own. I'm bringing my Tito's and my mixers. Got to have your seltzers. Got to have a little Mio. Bring you a little Crystal Light. Bring you a little cranberry juice. You got to have your own little drinky drink.
You'd be dug in there, huh?
I already know.
Jeez.
Right. Sit there for just hanging out, kicking it, relaxing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Just watching people.
Yeah. Was it last year? What year is this? This is 26? I don't think I went much last year, but in 2024, the Truth used to get VIP access because they got a little VIP, little courtyard over by the federal building. And so we would start there, and then we would migrate over to our little area we had reserved, but that was back when the Truth had strong representation. Now everybody is scattered, so we don't. It wasn't quite the same after last year, after they started disbanding our group. Just started firing people quitting. When did you start here, Xavier? What year?
I started here, what?
23, maybe? It's
no, like at the beginning of 25. So
Oh, hell.
Or maybe the end of 24.
You just got here, basically.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started here, I was just doing the sports stuff. So I wasn't even meant to be producing the shows. I was just only doing the sports stuff. But here I am now.
Look at that. Now you made it to the top.
Yeah.
All right. Take a break, come back. There are some documented disparities in how black students are disciplined in the Milwaukee public school system. And it seems there is documentation and data that shows if you look at the race of the student, the disciplinary action taken against them is different, with race being a variable, meaning if a white student commits an offense and a black student commits the same, this is where it gets gray, or similar offense, the black student is much more likely to be suspended or expelled, and this is documented. So it shows an actual racial disparity in discipline. So I'm going to give you the statistics of how many black students there are at NPS, at least when this consent decree was created. A consent decree, basically a lawsuit saying you got to change your ways because it's unfair and it's racist, and we can prove it with documentation and data that the district is unfairly and more punitively punishing black students, and you have a certain amount of years to clear this up. This actually started with the Obama administration. His Department of Justice and his Department of Education noticed some of these disparities in discipline with NPS, and they required them to clean it up. Well, now that Trump is here, the district will be able to go back to unfairly disciplining black children because, I'm going to leave you with this, and I'm going to take a break. We're going to get into it. But also, I'm trying to talk about where the lack of discipline comes from. And if you've got a bunch of adults throwing garbage in a park, trust me, that stuff can have an influence on the kid, right? Because picking up garbage is a matter of discipline. It's not just cleanliness. It's not just respect. It's discipline. The Trump administration says it is racist to look at racial disparities in discipline, meaning if you change policies because black children are getting disciplined unfairly because they're black, the Trump administration is saying that in and of itself is racist because you are looking at race in determining different types of discipline. So now the district can go back to disciplining however it wants without having to make any special accommodations or even be mindful of black children getting treated differently. But we're going to have a much larger conversation about discipline overall. And why are black children getting disciplined at all in school? Shouldn't they just be behaving? Or are you guys going to make up excuses for why they're not? The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
That's our phone number if you want to call. I guess you could text, but I have no idea where the text messages go. Because we used to use this website service, but that website service was property of and paid for by Good Karma Brands. And we are no longer affiliated with Good Karma Brands, as we are, I'm going to call us the flagship of Milwaukee Black Media. So we have a new, something happened where all of a sudden I was getting text messages that people would text into the radio station to my phone, and that's a no-go. So I blocked all that. Is there a way that I can look at a text message on the computer? I got to sign into my email. I ain't doing all that. That's too much. That's too extra. Nearly 16,000 students have been suspended in Milwaukee public schools this school year. And that, what year is this? 2024. That's compared to just 2.5% of suspensions for white students. Wait a minute, let me read that again. Nearly 16,000 students have been suspended in Milwaukee public schools so far in the 2024 school year, with black students making up 80% of the suspensions. That's compared to just 2.5% of suspensions for white students, according to data presented to the Milwaukee School Board. That was in March of 2024. Just under 50% of the district's 67,495 students are black. 28% are Hispanic, and 9% are white. And then I got some more updated information. Like, do you know that black children aren't even the majority in NPS anymore? I think that might be a good thing because black parents are choosing other places, spaces, and avenues to educate their children. Can I throw out a Sherwinism? Do you guys mind? If you're going to go to a restaurant, go to a restaurant with someone who either owns one or who is a chef. If you're going to go check out art to an art museum or to an art exhibit, go with an actual artist. If you're going to go to a live music event, a show, maybe a small venue, maybe a big venue, go to a music event with an actual musician. Because people that are in those respective industries have superior taste because they know it, okay? Go to a restaurant. Ask the chef where he eats. Go there. When restaurant owners, because all restaurant owners, I mean, they eat their food, obviously, but they don't always eat at their restaurants. They have their favorite restaurants, and it's usually something exquisite. If you've been in the restaurant business for 30 years, I trust your judgment on where I should go get some food, okay? They even show you, like, different ways, how you order stuff. Ordering stuff is not always just off the menu. It's a whole bunch of different things. Oh, Sherwin, if they have this and they have this, and then you can combine this and they'll make this. I'm like, can you do that? Oh, at a restaurant like this? Absolutely. They expect you to almost customize because they want you to have the best dining experience ever. I was like, no sugar, honey, iced tea. Send your kids to school where teachers send theirs. I hope that makes sense. Ask an educator, not even what schools they recommend, because they might recommend a school just so you send your kids to the one they recommend. No. Ask them where their kids were educated. In fact, you know what? If you all have any interactions with or run into someone who is a teacher or a retired teacher, especially a Milwaukee public school teacher, ask them where they sent their kids to school, and what you will find is that a great number of them did not and would not send their kids to MPS. And you have to wonder, if you are an educator, if you are in the industry and you are trained and educated in education, you know some things about schools. And because teachers and administrators, they know each other. They talk. That's right. Principals and assistant principals from all over the place. They share ideas. They share best practices. Here's what screwed us. When we got rid of phonics, now they do this thing where kids just look at a word and they memorize the word without knowing the breakdown of how, when you have an E at the end, the vowels are long. Like, they don't even do that no more. I don't even know how any of these kids can read. So when I say that our children are not on grade level, they're not even teaching them the proper mechanics. We used to have a workbook. Remember the phonics book? It was separate. Had like newspaper pages to it. Take out your phonics book. We're doing phonics. They don't do phonics no more. Just make them memorize the order of the letters in the word. It's so sad. Just under 50% of the district, 67,495 students are black. 28% are Hispanic. And 9% are white. So what are the rest? Asian? Dominican? About 14% of the students who have been suspended in the 2024 school year are Hispanic, according to MPS. 80% are black. That have been suspended. John Jagerman, district discipline manager. Ooh, what kind of job is that? Hi, what do you do for a living? I'm the MPS district discipline manager. Oh, you're a warden. John Jagerman, district discipline manager, said total suspensions in MPS are up 6.9% through February of 2024, or about 900 additional suspensions. Those numbers could include students who have had more than one suspension, Jagerman said during a Committee on Parents and Community Engagement meeting. Jagerman did not respond to further questions from Wisconsin Public Radio, and that is where this article appears. Administrators have given monthly suspension updates since September of 2020 following an investigation by the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights that found MPS had disproportionately suspended or expelled black students. So before I get into more details about that, I'm going to take a break, come back. We're going to dive in real deep. Why can't they behave? Are they disturbed? Do they have anxiety? I'm serious here, because somebody needs to do a deep dive and some critical thinking. Like, why can't Are they bored? Are they in the wrong grade? Are they so far behind that they have no comprehension of what is going on and their behavior is reflective of that? Because isn't it worth, at least from our perspective, the administrators and the teachers, they have a different perspective. But as a community that is relying on this district to educate our children, at least so they can be prepared for work or prepared for higher education, because we're going to need a workforce. Now, damn it, I want Social Security. Now, I don't even know how much I'm going to get. I might get 3 bags of peanuts and some cotton candy. I don't know what I'm going to get for Social Security, but damn it, I want something. I know if I'm going to get Social Security, somebody got to be in a workforce working. They got to be paying into Social Security so Sherwin can get his check. And I can smell retirement. It's right around the corner. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing this. Count my money, see how long. Because I don't want my life to outlast my money. Sherwin need to die before the money run out. You know what I mean? Because I ain't trying to be 72 years old being a Walmart greeter, and I'd be a terrible Walmart greeter because I wouldn't even greet y'all. Take a break, come back. I'm going to try and figure out what's happening, y'all. Like, why can't the kids behave? The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
But I love you cause you crazy too.
Radio killer.
Red light special. Undress me under the tender light. Turned up in this business. Watch me do all of them things you like. I'm ready to go, ready to blow like Grammy night. In the back of that limousine. Billy Bob and Angeline. All you gotta do.
Milwaukee Public Schools is under federal investigation based on allegations about how the district considers race in disciplinary practices, the U.S. Department of Education said yesterday, August 18th. But before I get into that, it's going to be very confusing to some. I got to make sure that we come away from this conversation not being confused. So there is a disparity in black children being disciplined. And sometimes they'll be committing the same offense as a white child. The white child will get a less harsh punishment. The black child more likely to get suspended and expelled. There's a couple ways we can look at this. First of all, what are the black children doing and why are they doing it? Why can't they behave? Okay, that's number one. Number two, when the black children commit the same offense as a white child, why are the black children being disciplined more harshly? Like, that deserves critical analysis. One of the things that I can think of off the top of my head, and here's the thing, I don't know. I don't even know what the offenses are. Is it pushing, fighting, shoving, cussing out a teacher? I don't know. But what I can deduct from this is if a white child pushes a fellow student and they get caught, teacher sees it, go to the principal's office, we're going to call home. And then maybe that's it. Call home, parents come in, maybe have a conversation, talk to the child, whatever. Send the kid to the principal's office, something. And that's it. No suspension, no expulsion. And then you can look at the same behavior. Black child pushes a student, 3-day suspension, maybe 1-day in school suspension, or in some cases, an expulsion for being physical with another student. With the white student, and this is just me thinking out loud here, that was the first time, their first offense, pushing a fellow student. So, sent to the principal's office, they call home. Maybe there's a little conference between the assistant principal, and the teacher and the student. They figure something out. The child gets disciplined at home. Okay, boom. That child was not suspended. That sounds to me like something that's reasonable. Child, because kids, you know, some kids deserve to be pushed. Some adults deserve to be pushed too. Not saying you should do it, but some of y'all asked for it. First offense, I don't believe in punishing people super harsh for the first offense. Now, if they do it again, of course, you increase the penalty with the frequency of the offense, right? But what if the black student has been pushing 5 kids a year since they were in fourth grade? By the time they get to high school, and I'm assuming that these children's disciplinary records are cumulative and they follow them, Because wouldn't you want to know if this kid who's coming from middle school to high school has been suspended before, has been expelled, had to sit a year out of school before? Like, wouldn't you want to know that? So I'm assuming that they keep accurate records. So when you look at the offense of just pushing a child, or it could be maybe even vice versa, because white kids get expelled too. If that white child has been pushing kids since they were in fourth grade, and then they push somebody in high school, now they get expelled. With the black children, how much leniency are they given? And if we're looking at the thing in totality, okay, well, this black child was, in fact, expelled or suspended for pushing a child, but it was the 10th time they did it, where with this white student or a black student, it was their first offense, and maybe some of the disparity can come from there. But there's still a lot to unpack here, because we need to figure out why anybody is pushing anybody in the first place and why these kids can't behave. Right? Let me give you a few more little hearty details, because what the Trump administration is proposing is that MPS can absolutely go right back to suspending and expelling kids with no respect to any kind of racial disparity. And I assure you, in some cases, yes, because this child is black and there's an understanding or a stereotype or a generalization that black students are more dangerous and they're more violent, even though we don't do a lot of school shootings. We really don't. We'll shoot you after school, but at least black students respect the fact that, hey, this is a place for learning. And maybe a little fist fighting, but we don't bring guns into the school. It's also because it's really hard to get a gun into a black school. The story I've told a million and one times, this goes back to the crack era in Detroit, Michigan, where there was an expectation because of all of the problems and the plagues of the crack epidemic, which I think we look back at the crack epidemic and now we make it seem like it was way worse than it actually was. It wasn't. I mean, yeah, there was crack, but when we look back on the crack era now, like, oh, it's responsible for all the social ills in America. No, it wasn't. Crack wasn't that prevalent. I think marijuana is doing more damage now than crack ever did. Absolutely. And alcohol does more damage than both of them combined. Another story. So there was, I think Detroit School District was one of the first school districts to implement this safety protocol district-wide. 88, 89 school year, right around there. Metal doors that can only be opened from the inside of the building. Okay, so if you're outside, you can't get in because there's no handle on the outside of these metal doors. And then also magnetometers, where the kids had to walk through metal detectors every single morning, because there was an expectation that the violence that existed in the neighborhood around the school would filter its way into the school. So Detroit was like, we're going to be proactive and we're going to make sure that people outside in the community who may be violent can't get into the school and harm our students. It also treats children like prisoners, even though they weren't guilty of anything. And you have all this additional security because in these majority black schools in Detroit during the crack era, violence was the expectation. So there was a 14-year-old boy who was walking home from school in Detroit, and he was about halfway. So he was halfway between the school and home. And some people started shooting, not at him, at each other. And he gets caught in the crossfire. And so this child who's 14 years old, has nothing to do with these folks that are shooting, runs to the safest place that he knew, and it wasn't home. It was actually back to the school, which I always found fascinating, because the heavy amounts of security that have been placed in majority black schools, and this is going back almost, 35, 40 years, because there's an expectation that black people and black neighborhoods and black communities and black schools will be more violent, and there really wasn't, that there's not the kind of evidence in black schools that there will be school shootings like in white schools, where they won't have magnetometers, they won't have metal detectors, they won't have those metal doors, even though the school shootings are much more likely out there. And here's the reason why. The veneer of whiteness is something that needs to be studied. I wish a college would offer a PhD discipline in this. Suburban schools don't want the appearance that they're dangerous, even though they are. Well, if we have metal detectors here, it's going to look bad. Yeah, but there were 5 school shootings in the surrounding county. Yeah, I know. That's unfortunate, but it'll just look bad. It'll look violent. It'll look like this isn't a safe place. Quite honestly, having metal detectors ensures everybody's safety, but it's always such a fascinating argument as to why they won't install metal. Now, some suburban schools, they got to have them. Now, them kids will bring grenades to school. But a lot of them said, we reject having to put in all of these safety measures that we know will keep children safe, teachers safe, administrators safe. Because, well, if we put these metal detectors up, it just looks terrible. We didn't have them at Brown Deer until. So if you went to a basketball game, yep, you had to go through a metal detector because we would play surrounding city schools. And, you know, if there was like a little, like a preseason game or a scrimmage, them boys from Vincent came. You got to batten down the hatches. You know what I mean? Because Vincent and Brown Deer are 1.5 miles apart, 2 miles apart. What time is it? 45. Take a break, come back. A few more details on exactly how bad it is. There's a major problem in how often black children are committing these offenses that get them suspended and expelled, and white children may be committing the same offense. We don't know the frequency of the offense. We don't know how often the black child who got suspended or expelled for pushing a kid, how many times they've actually pushed a kid. But it's something worth examining. And NPS was like, look, we're going to examine and have a culturally competent way of looking at why there's such a huge disparity. Less than 50% of the student body at NPS is black, but black children made up something like 80% of the suspensions and the expulsions, and that's embarrassing for the district. So the district was like, okay, we're going to look at, are we looking through a lens of whiteness, engaging and judging black children's behavior? Well, the Trump administration said, you can't look at race at all, so go back to disciplining these kids the way you were that created the disparity. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You from afar, for as long as I can remember. You're all a real man can need and never ask for, baby. This is love, girl. This is more than a crush. Yeah.
It was Harlem at the Rutgers. I saw you with your man.
There is evidence of racial disparity, even within particular offenses. One of the most revealing findings from the 2021-2022 school year data involved the category of, quote, chronic disruption or violation of school rules. Black students received approximately 82% of roughly 1,500 suspensions issued under that category alone. That's important because disciplinary categories such as disruption, disrespect, and defiance can involve considerably more administrator/teacher judgment than offenses involving something objectively verifiable, like possession of a weapon. Let's talk to Linda. You're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you, Sherwin. And good morning to you and all the good black and white people of America. It's a great day in Milwaukee. Sherwin, as an educator, a black female educator, I am, you know, just really heartbroken. But as a doctoral student, I am one that wants to do the research and find the answers. But I will say that pre-COVID time, that MPS was a failing school district. So post-COVID time, we see a bad situation that has gotten worse, where, you know, we know that, you know, parents don't know how to read, and that goes several generations before this child. And today's black child, I feel that there is so, even though children need rules, they need boundaries, they need discipline, yes, they do, and they want it. But I feel that today's black child has so much on them, coming at them. You just described a typical, you know, family that, you know, probably poor, that, you know, don't have no guidance. And just imagine a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year old growing up in a environment like that with no, you know, constructive guidance, what have you, and no safety for the child, male or female. And so you have these children today, my God, it would be a miracle for these children to survive and to become productive citizens of society. Having said that, I think that poverty is a social and a health crisis at this time, because we don't talk about the Mexicans who had the brawl over the weekend. We don't talk about the crises of these young white males going into, that's recently escalating, by the way, going into black communities and mass shootings. Come on now. I understand that we are, you know, looking at the one aspect here and there, the low reading, the low performance, and all of this, but what are all of us doing? Because I feel like all of us are contributing to today's situation of the black child in the educational system, because we are not putting forth the response necessary as a community for these children. They don't have parents speaking up and speaking out for them. They don't even have officials speaking up and speaking out for them. I'm not trying to give them a pass. I'm a disciplinarian and I'm a strict educator. But I also feel after 28 years of teaching that, and on different levels, elementary, middle, and high school, that children, we put so much on them, man. We really do. We really do. And all they want to do is be happy and successful. How we get them there, I think a lot of external variables contribute to their distractions and their downfalls. And yes, I know they're not using their own critical thinking, but when you are on the outside looking at a child, you have to think about what is going on the inside of that child's mind, especially when they're growing up in a surrounding like that where there's no discipline, there's no rules, there's no tradition, there's no reading. Come on now.
Okay.
It's too much on these kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah.
I was just going to let her say her thing. I wasn't going to interrupt her. Poverty's not an excuse. We have been way poorer and behaved better. Black standard of living has never been this high in the history of our existence in this nation. We have more money, make more money, have higher incomes, have more disposable income, and still can receive benefits, where now you can be 150%, 175%, and 200% of the poverty line and still qualify for all sorts of assistance. Poverty is not it. Let me tell you what it is. Now, there are some families that they can't take care of the kids that they got. Some women can't take care of the kids she got, can't feed the kids, can't keep control and keep track of the kids she got. You got to have an abortion. Don't have. You can't have the baby. You can't take care of the kids. What? You all know that we can't save some of these kids. Can't save them. Can't save them.
And that's the truth.
Talk more about that in hour three of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.